like for us to consider this afternoon some lessons from the life of Joseph. It doesn't do us any good to read the story about Joseph in Genesis, the 35th chapter and thereon, if we don't make application to it. A story that's about 3,700 years old. Romans, the 15th chapter, verse 4 says, "For whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So as we consider the life of Joseph, the first thing I'd like for us to look at is the fact that we need to follow God's marriage laws. In Genesis, the 2nd chapter, verse 24, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." This law was broken by Joseph's father, Jacob, but Joseph suffered the consequences. Jacob became angry with Rachel, the woman that he really loved. Genesis 30 and verse 2. Jacob showed partiality in his love for his wives, and God noticed. In Genesis, the 29th chapter, verse 31, "When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren." Rachel was envious of Leah for having children. Genesis 30 and verse 1. Rachel then compounded the matter by offering her handmaid, Bilhah, to Jacob. Not only that, Leah boasts about her childbearing ability. Genesis 30th chapter, verse 6, "God has heard my voice and given me a son." In verse 18, "God has given me my wages." In verse 20, "God has endowed me. Now my husband will dwell with me." Not only that, there was no respect between son and stepmother. Reuben, Leah's eldest, commits adultery with Bilhah, the handmaid. Genesis 35 and verse 22. All this happens before Joseph comes along. So the table is set. We have anger, we have partiality, we have envy, jealousy, one-upmanship, and we have three too many mothers. You also cannot pick your parents or your siblings. You must play with the cards that you are dealt. Therefore, it is one husband and one wife for life. When was the last time that you heard a lesson on building up your love for the person that you married? Or how about how to prevent divorce from happening in your house? You know, we hear so many sermons on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Most of us can probably quote Matthew 19:9 and Matthew 5:32, but can you quote the passage that helps preserve a marriage? What about Ephesians 5:25? "Husbands, love your wife," singular, "as Christ loved the church." That's also singular. Titus 2 and verse 4, "that they," the older women, "may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husband, to love their children." We are Christians. Therefore, we should imitate Christ. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 22 through 33. Not only that, but we are to love our brother. And this is my spouse, if they are Christian. 1 John 4, verse 20. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? Verse 21. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. You cannot commit adultery Love God and love your spouse. It can't be done. Another thing we can learn from the life of Joseph, sin can destroy a family. Favoritism, jealousy, hatred, strife, deceitfulness, it's all there. Chapter 37, verse 3, Jacob loved Joseph more. Verse 4, Joseph's brothers hated him. Verse 11, his brothers envied him. Verse 18, they conspired against him. Verse 25, without remorse, they sat down to eat a meal after they had thrown him in a pit. Verse 26, what profit is there if we kill our brother? Boy, these are really some considerate brothers, aren't they? And conceal his blood. So what are they going to do? They just commit another sin. Filthy lucre. Verse 26, we'll sell him for 20 pieces of silver. Not only that, verse 28, deception. They dipped the tunic in blood. We're not done yet. Now we have hypocrisy, verse 35. And his sons and daughters arose to comfort Jacob. We can let that slide with the daughters. They may have not known anything about it, but not with these sons. They're hypocrites. They knew exactly what happened. They patted their dad and held him and gave him a hug and a kiss and cried with him. Hypocrites. Ephesians 6:1. Fathers, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Children, obey your parents. A third thing we can learn from the life of Joseph. God sees all things, and Joseph knew that. In Genesis 39 and verse 9, he's in Potiphar's house. A confinement behind closed doors, evidently. And verse 9, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He's talking to Potiphar's wife. She wants him to lay with him. Joseph knows, and sin against God, behind closed doors, he knew that God knew and could see. Jesus reaffirmed this idea in Matthew the 5th chapter and verse 26, talking about sinful things of chapter 5, 21 and 26, and adultery in 27 through 30. It starts in the unseen heart and proceeds onward, but God knows. Not only that, in that chapter, the honorable things in chapter 6 and verse 4, he knows about the alms, the prayers, verse 6, and the fastings, verse 17 and 18. But those things should be done in secret. But God yet knows. Something else we can learn from this lesson concerning Joseph. Do your best. When given lemons, make lemonade, not a sour face. He sold into slavery, into a foreign land, and a foreign language. But what did Joseph do? Genesis 39 and verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Verse 4, so Joseph found favor in his sight, and served him in a foreign land with a foreign language. Joseph did not begrudge his master for him being the master. He did not say, woe is me. He did the very best that he could. They say cream rises to the top, and here's a perfect example of Joseph rising to the top. He's accused of rape and he's thrown in jail. But, Genesis 40 and verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Proverbs 3, verse 3 says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. Verse 4, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. That was true then and it's true today. Don't be an old sourpuss. Nobody likes a complainer. Someone who complains just to be complaining. I've worked with some like that, haven't you? They don't have a solution, they just got a complaint. 1 Corinthians 16:13, Paul said, quit ye like men. In other words, be a man. Act like a man. Don't be like Ahab. You remember Ahab? 1 Kings 21:4. And he lay down on his bed and he turned away his face and would eat no food. He was pouting.
I can't get that grape vineyard. Can you help me, dear?
Well, his wife was just as wicked as he was, a good old Jezebel. And twice God told Job to prepare himself like a man. Job 38 and verse 3 and chapter 40 and verse 7. So we need to act like men. Another thing from this concerning the life of Joseph. Man will fail you, but sometimes man will surprise you. His half-brothers sold him into slavery. His master's wife falsely accused him of rape. He was thrown into jail. The butler failed to remember Joseph when the butler got out of prison. Chapter 40, verse 23, he forgot all about him. Then 2 years later, chapter 41, verse 9, he says, I remember my faults this day. There was a guy in prison. He could interpret dreams. What was I thinking? I forgot all about him. Now here's the other flip side of it. There's all the failings of man, but look what Pharaoh did. But Pharaoh promoted Joseph to second command. Genesis 41 and verse 40. A foreigner in a foreign land speaking a foreign language promoted to number two in that foreign land. I'd say that's taking lemons and making lemonade and maybe making lemonade and putting it on the New York Stock Exchange. I mean, he just went gung-ho, didn't he? He did the best of that situation. Something else we can learn from Joseph. We need to be presentable before the king. In Genesis, the 41st chapter, verse 14, Joseph is in prison. The Pharaoh finds out that this fellow can interpret dreams. 41:14 says, and Joseph shaved, changing his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. Folks, I'm just going to say it right here, right now. We got too many people who come to worship services look like they're getting ready to go to Walmart. And I'm not so sure that's as low as you can go. About 25 years ago, or maybe 30 years ago at this time, Connie Adams made a statement in the old church building at Greencastle that he was holding a gospel meeting, and a young man came forward to help wait on the table, and he had a t-shirt on of a rock band. And it was the rock band Kiss, which represents knights in Satan's service. That's what those four letters represent. Now, can you imagine standing at the Lord's table with a t-shirt like that on? Joseph didn't do that. He was presentable before the king. Why should we be any less presentable before our eternal king? We dress up more for somebody that's dead, maybe, in the tomb, or for somebody that's getting married, than we do to the fellow who can give us eternal life forever. We need to be presentable. Something else we can learn from Joseph's life. We need to give God the credit. Genesis 41:16. He's interpreted this dream. He says, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Yes, Joseph was the conduit to interpret this dream, but he was not the interpreter. God interpreted it. Joseph just told him what it said. Give God the credit. Daniel, the second chapter, verse 28. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. Even Daniel, later on, gave credit to God. Now, I love this movie, and I've seen it several times, but you need to watch the movie Shenandoah with Jimmy Stewart. It's a great movie. It's set in the time frame of the Civil War. That movie starts out, and it's Jimmy Stewart and his family around this big long table, and he prays to God, and everything he says in it, it's me, I did this, and I did that, and so on and so forth. He gives God no credit at all. Just go to the library and get that movie, and just if you want to just watch the first 5 minutes, so be it. But watch that. It shows you what not to do when you pray. He didn't give God any of the credit in that movie. Something else we can learn from the life of Joseph. And some people have a real problem with this one. We need to forgive and forget. In Genesis, the 45th chapter, verse 5, "But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here." This is Joseph talking to his brothers. "For God sent me to preserve life." Verse 7, "And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Verse 8, "So now it was not you who sent me here, but God." Well, are you just saying these things, Joseph? Well, look at verse 14 and 15. "Then he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept." That's his full brother. That's his only full brother. "And Benjamin wept on his neck." Verse 15. Oh, it looks like he's showing partiality, but look at verse 15. "Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them." Here's a man who forgave and forgot. Can we say the same? Or do we hold a grudge forever? I got a feeling if we hold that grudge forever, we're going to be on the wrong side of that great gulf that's fixed. Something else we can learn concerning Joseph. We need to know what God promises. We need to believe it, and we need to obey it. Genesis 50 and verse 24, the very twilight of Joseph's career. He says, "I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." He's talking about his dad, his granddad, and his great-granddad. He's talking about a promise that was made to his great-grandfather. Jacob knew about this threefold promise. A great nation, which they were not yet. A great land, which they had not come to occupy yet, and a great seed, which was also in the future. I doubt if Joseph knew that it was going to be about 400 years before any of this came to fruition, before they became a great nation. And then another 40 years before they went into that great land. And then not until the New Testament, several years later, before Jesus Christ, the great seed, came upon this earth. But Joseph believed the promise, and he told his kin about it. "Therefore he took an oath from the children of Israel," chapter 50 and verse 25, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here." 400 plus years later, those children of Israel carried his bones into the land of promise. By Joseph's bones remaining in Egypt, it brought to mind the promises that God had made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. By them seeing his bones in Egypt, it gave them hope. It reminded them of that promise. Joseph's great faith in God keeping his promises was confirmed when they carried him into that land. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 32. "The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up out of Egypt, they buried at Shechem, in the plot of ground which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and which had become an inheritance of the children of Israel." So there are some things that we can learn from this great man, Joseph. What about you? Where is your hope? In earthly treasure, where moth and rust decay, thieves break in and steal, Matthew 6:19. Or will you put your hope in heavenly treasures, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal? Colossians 3:2 says, set your affections on things that are above, not on things of this earth. Promises made by God. Forgiveness of sin. That was made in Acts, the second chapter. We're almost 2,000 years removed from that promise. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That promise that God made, that if you're baptized, your sins will be forgiven, that was available in the first century, is available today. Sin brought about death. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's really two promises there. The fact that sin is death. That's brought about by God. Because sin, if you sin without repentance and obedience, you will die in your sins. But the gift of God, eternal life, there's a promise, eternal life. Isn't that what we all want? Isn't that what Joseph probably yearned for? Eternal life. 2 Peter, the first chapter, as we bring this lesson to a close. Chapter 1. 2 Peter, chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add your faith, virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Eternal life? Is that what you seek? Should be what we all seek. Who wants to live on this earth? There's something much better. Much, much better. Heaven. But we've got to hear the word. Romans 10:17. We've got to believe the word. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. We have to repent. Jesus said, if you repent, if you don't repent, you're lost. We got to confess that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father who art in heaven. Matthew 10:32. The flip side of that's the next verse, but if you don't, I'll deny you. We don't want that. We need to be baptized for the remission of our sins, and we need to be faithful all the days of our life. And I imagine we do these things and are faithful, there'll be a lot of people that we can read about in the book of Hebrews, that book of faith. Joseph. We'll get to meet Joseph, along with all the other faithful. If we can help you in any way to either become a Christian, restore your life to God, come forward now while we stand and sing.